going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Going the Distance podcast presented by ImmaculateSports.com. Twitter's at ImmacSports.
Instagram is also at ImmacSports.
TikTok, YouTube, Immaculate Sports. It is episode 208 and a very special one. Of course, the college football season kicked off. We only got about 16 more games for every team in the MLB season, but this episode mostly will be for the NFL full season preview, all our picks.
Yeah, it's going to be an action-packed episode with a lot of things to talk about. But one thing of note, kind of, I don't want to say off-topic, but something we don't talk about often, this is the end of year four of Immaculate Sports. Next episode will be the start of year five, episode 209. And it's crazy to say that we've done four full football seasons and we're going into our fifth now at this point. It's always fun to talk about, and happy that we're able to do this every single week. But with that being said, the opener, the best thing that we saw this past week is how we'll start off as always. And I'm not quite ready for football because Lawrence Butler's keeping me hanging on baseball right now. And he had a crazy week, especially with his three home run game in Cincinnati this past week. First one was a bomb. Second one was a laser. The third one was an absolute bomb off of Alexis Diaz to tie the game at the top of the ninth. Let out a huge scream after he hit the ball, went 420, 430 feet. Let out a let's fucking go, which is pretty cool to see because we don't have a lot of guys with the motion. And I guess, you know, hints at kind of my player of the week here that we'll talk about too, where I also had Lawrence Butler. But just to see a player like that, that has, you know, charisma and I guess for lack of a better term, aura that Lawrence Butler does for once as an A's fan is super awesome to feel, because the guys of the last, you know, generation where we had Chapman, Olsen, Semien, they were studs, don't get me wrong, and probably even better players they're than Lawrence business, Butler right now. But they're all business. There is no, you know, showing off to the camera. There is no swag. There is no that personality about them. They were just silent superstars, and Lawrence Butler's the exact opposite. And I feel like it's the first time, at least pretty much in our lifetime, that we've had a guy like that. I guess you could say, you know, Donaldson was kind of like that, Coco was kind of like that, but nothing the way Lawrence Butler was. And for us who were probably too young to experience the greatness of Miguel Tejada when he was on the A's, Lawrence Butler feels like an awakening for this next generation of A's baseball, which is awesome to see because he's so easy to root for.
Oh, absolutely. I am going to go with some football, college football, for my opener. How about the Boise State Broncos escaping the shootout in Statesboro, Georgia, the 56-45 win at Georgia Southern, who's no slouch. If you remember, they used to be like what App State would do. They'd show up every other year, beat a Division I team, and then they finally did get bumped up about 10 years ago. But it was 100 degrees, nasty, wet, hot, both defense literally getting toasted. So the Broncos running game took advantage. Ashton Jeanty goes for 267 and six touchdowns after coming back for one more year before the NFL. And even the 17-year-old true freshman backup, Syer Gaines, came in, sealed the deal with 150 and two touchdowns of his own. So let's get ready for Oregon because we're going to give up about 70 in that one.
Is that next week? Or yes, this sir. Week, I guess, technically? Wow. Yeah, once I saw Jeanty's stat line, I was like 99% sure that that was going to be your opener. So
it was incredible.
Good to see. I was right on page there. Yeah. Moving on, though, to our player pitcher rookie of the week. Pretty much the only baseball that we'll talk about unless it comes up in our bets at all. But the player of the week, Skyler, who did you go with here? There's one guy that stood out for me specifically.
Yeah, you said it pretty well. Somehow Lawrence Butler had a higher OPS than Yordan and Shohei this week, I think combined too. So that's 10 extra base hits. Six of them were homers in big spots, 10 ribbies. This guy is on fire. Him, Seth Brown, J.J. Bladé, all these guys are having a monster second half. I even saw Brent Rooker's got like a 170 OPS too.
Yeah. The Law Dog's got to be the player of the week. It's pretty easy. 13 hits, a whole bunch of homers, a couple stolen bases in there as well, too. Becoming a five-tool player and on I believe it's a career-high 12-game hit streak right now for the A's outfielder. Moving on to pitcher of the week, Skyler, who do you go with here?
Big week for the AL West. It's Spencer Arrighetti. Somehow the Stros keep doing it. They keep finding these guys. This guy absolutely annihilated the Phillies of all teams over 7+, flirting with the no-hitter and striking out 11.
Yeah, I went with Spencer Arrigetti too, over Framber Valdez. Valdez went 7, no hit. Arrigetti technically did as well too before giving up a hit in the 8th inning. So his 7 2/3 shutout ball against the Phillies I value a little bit higher. Only 2 hits, like you said, 11 strikeouts. He's been striking out everyone over this past, you know, 2-3 month stretch. I believe it's his 3rd or 4th 10K or higher game in there for a guy who was really shitty when he first came up. So Spencer Arrigetti gets the pitcher of the week honors from me as well. On to rookie of the week. I also went with Arrigetti there. It seems pretty obvious. Is that who you went with as well?
Yeah. Of course, Arrigetti. It was unbelievable, but I do got to shout out Rhett Lauder. He looked really good in Milwaukee, at home against Milwaukee, excuse me. But we got to see him throw some more innings before he gets an award like this, right?
Yeah, no, that's fair. The 4-inning start in your debut is common, but it's not, you know, rookie of the week honors quite yet. Maybe next year, because he should be eligible next year, I'd imagine, based off of service time manipulation stuff going on.
Of course.
Moving on, though, to the NFL preview that everybody is waiting for. We're going to do it in very similar style that we've done in our previous ones, where we're going to go starting off with the divisional standings. So you kind of get our, you know, spiel on each little team there. After that, we'll get into the 7 playoff teams in each conference, then go back to awards with the MVP, Opoy, Depoy, O'Roy, D-Roy, Coach of the Year, and Comeback Player of the Year. And then we'll finish it off with playoffs, you know, the entire picture there, Super Bowl MVP picks, all that stuff. So we'll get it started, I guess, with the alphabetical order. And it starts well for you because we're talking about the AFC East first, Skyler. Who was the 4th place team in the AFC East? I feel like it's pretty easy.
Yeah, this one's going to be the Patriots. You want the record for right now, too? Well, I mean, they're obviously not in the playoffs. So, yeah, I got them at 3-14. I got a bunch of teams at 3-14 because mostly one thing. It's either an unproven quarterback or you don't have a lot of weapons. That's both here for the Patriots. It's going to be a rough one. They're going to be competing for a top 5 pick.
Yeah, I had the Patriots going 6-11, a bit higher than you did, but they are, of course, my final spot team in the AFC East there. At home, I had them going 4-4, and then the division, I had them going 2-4. I think that was a stolen game against the Bills, and then I think I had them stealing one against you guys, too. Just, you know, divisional matters. You never know how things are going to go. But the Patriots are definitely not going to be a great team this year, and losing probably at least 10-plus games. The 3 spot, this is where it starts.
Yeah, this is where the division starts here. And I do have Buffalo. It's been a common pick. But however, it's not over for them. 10-7. I have them going 5-1 in the division. 1 to the Jets, hopefully. That'd be cool. But I don't think Miami really stands a chance against them. It's all about the defense with Buffalo. That's going to have them losing games on the road, games not up in the north, because they're going to get toasted. I do trust Josh Allen, though, to make the playoffs.
I had the Bills at 10-7 as well, too, as a 3rd place team. 3-3 within the division, 6-2 at home, and just 4-5 away from Buffalo. Bills are good. They're not going to be a terrible team, but I definitely don't think anybody's saying that they're going to be, you know, the roster or the team that they were in the past 2 to 3 years with some of the guys that they've had to let go via, you know, release or trade with Stephon Diggs. And it's definitely going to be a transitional year for Buffalo. I've seen some stuff saying, you know, McDermott could be a guy that gets fired at the end of the year. But as of right now, I still think they're a decent team playing above 500 ball at 10-7. Number 2.
I have the Jets at 11-6 here at the 2 spot. I think they have a really favorable start to the schedule. They should start off on fire if everything goes well, but you know, it's the Jets. The roster is a little older on offense, so things are going to slow down. So that's why I have them 3-3 in the division, and they're not going to win it. But 11-6, good for a top wild card spot, of course.
Yeah, I have the Jets as the number 2 spot in the AFC East as well, too, sitting at 12-5, so a bit better than what you had. 6-2 at home, 6-3 away. The big split here for me is I had them 2-4 versus winning teams, but 10-1 versus losing teams. And I think that kind of speaks to the defense. And I would say the uncertainty of the offense, but just kind of the, oh, we just haven't seen this product go yet. Yeah. You know, because it could be good versus winning teams. I think they'll be just fine against losing teams, though. And that's where they're really, you know, make their hay and get into the playoffs at 12-5. And the number one team I see we're on the same pace here is the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, also 11-6. They just really had the Jets number the past couple of years. They're a proven offense. As long as they're playing in good weather, they're going to put up a lot of points.
Yeah, I also have the Dolphins finishing at the top of the division, also going 12-5, same as the Jets for me. Same thing as what you said. It's kind of just their ability to beat the Jets, which happened in the tiebreakers. I had them sweeping you guys, unfortunately. 5-1 in the division for Miami. I believe their only loss I had was to the Bills in week 9 in Buffalo. So that's going to be a tough game regardless. And it's just looking at their schedule, they don't have a ton of those ridiculously cold weather games late in the season. I think they have at Green Bay week 13, which will be pushing it. They have at Cleveland week 17 and then versus the Jets in week 18. But besides that, a lot of warm weather games, which plays well into, you know, the Mike McDaniel offense there. And so I think it should be enough to win the division just by a tie. Moving on now to the AFC North, which is always a whole lot of fun, a bit more closer grouping, I would say, within the four teams here in this one, of course. Who is the number four team here, Skyler? Why is it the Pittsburgh Steelers?
It's the Steelers because we don't know who's going to be playing quarterback. Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, either way, I don't think they're ready for what's going to happen to this offense. They're going to get dismantled. However, the defense is pretty good. 7-10. They're going to just miss out. They're going to be in the hunt all year long like they usually are. But I say it's the first time Mike Tomlin doesn't get to 500.
Yeah, I agree. I have them going 7-10, 3-3 within the division, yep, though, even though it's tough. I think if the Steelers are going to be one of those teams this year where they have, you know, a good win here, but then the bad loss next week. And that's just kind of how the uncertainty of this team is going to play out. The defense looks like it's going to be good, as it always is, especially later on in the season. And the offense just isn't really doing it for me. So I don't think I could put them higher than 7-10. That's good enough for a last place finish. Yeah. Number three
in the North, I got the Cleveland Browns at 9-8. They're going to just miss out here because Deshaun Watson hasn't had a great full season since 2019. Another situation where, yeah, he can shock the world and have a great running game like they did last season, but I just got to see it first. They're not going to be as good in the division this year.
Yeah, I have the Browns as my number three team as well, too. They go 11-6, but 1-5 in the division, which is the worst record of any team in that division, of course, inside the division, that is. But the defense, we know, is going to be good. The offense is the biggest question, I would say, with how does Deshaun Watson play? Was it a fluke last year? Was it a fluke in 2019 when he was playing good? Who really knows right now? We'll see as it goes on, but I think the Browns should be a pretty good team still, regardless of how Deshaun Watson plays, just because of that defense and some of the external factors like the running game, but the offensive line as well, too. So 11-6 in a 3 spot in the AFC North. Number two,
I got the Bengals not winning the division, but a pretty good 12-5 record. They're going to split the division 3-3, but I've noticed a lot of their really tough games this year, like Philly, even the Raiders late in the season, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, they got a lot of home games. I really like that. I like them coming off of a bye. They're usually prepared as long as Joe Burrow's healthy.
Yeah, I have the Bengals as the number two team as well, too, in this division. Also going 11-6, same as the Browns for me. 7-1 home record is kind of the biggest standing point here at a 7-2 record versus losing teams. They go 4-2 within the division. I think they take both against the Browns, I want to say, and then split against everybody else. Should be a good team. I just think they're not as good as the Ravens. And that's pretty tough to do with how good the Ravens are. And, of course, they're both our number one team in the AFC North.
Yeah, at the top spot, once again, 13-4. There's a chance they take their foot off the gas pedal, but another team that's pretty good at replacing guys who leave immediately. And they've completely rebuilt the defense we were so worried about 2 years ago. I think they're ready.
Yeah, I have the Ravens winning division by a wide margin, going 14-3, a perfect 8-0 at home, 6-3 away from Baltimore. 6-0 versus losing teams, 8-3 versus winning teams. So it doesn't matter who or when, they're going to get it done. Maybe they could lose that week 18 game against the Browns if they already have the division locked up. That's not really what I'm worried about, though. The Ravens are going to be good, and I think they win this division by a game or two at least. So Baltimore 14-3, 4-2 in the division, gets the AFC North championship for what seems like 3 or 4 years in a row now at this point. Maybe less, because I think the Bengals got it a few years before that. But regardless, Ravens pretty damn good team. On to the AFC South, starting off with that fourth place team.
At the bottom, it's going to be the Titans at 4-13. I don't dislike Will Levis at all. It's just a really tough situation for the South this year, and someone's got to be the odd man out. They're going to be playing games against the AFC East and the NFC North, possibly going to be the two toughest divisions in football this year.
Yeah, the South, I don't have a ton of good records. It starts off with the Titans just like you do, so we go 9-9 so far. They go 5-12 for me, 1-5 in the division. The thing is, I don't hate the Titans, though, is a weird thing. Like, I enjoy some of the parts of the roster, and I think they did a lot of good stuff, especially on defense in acquisitions this offseason. But I think in comparison to some of the other AFC teams and just how tough the AFC is in general, they're just not quite ready with Will Levis yet. I expect a year 3 jump from him next year. But this year, maybe just a little bit too early. And they, you know, get another good pick for a team that should have a decently promising future if everything goes well. Number three
is the Colts. Unfortunately for them, they're another odd man out in the wild AFC this year at only 7-10. Although I think they did improve. It's just one of those situations where they might be an extra year away, the young quarterback.
Surprisingly for me, I do not have the Colts as the number three spot, so we change up here. I have the Jags, and their schedule is ridiculously tough this year is what I noticed. I have them going 6-11, and I double take that a few times, and I looked at it. Where can I find a win from? I just see their schedule. I see Cleveland week 2, Buffalo week 3, Houston week 4, Chicago week 6, who I think is going to be good, week 8 versus Green Bay, week 9 versus the Philadelphia Eagles, week 11 versus the Lions, the Texans again, the Jets later on in the season. I was struggling to find wins for this team, and I just took a second to realize this team isn't that good, unfortunately. There's not a lot of playmakers outside of some of the guys that they drafted and, you know, Christian Kirk, guys like that. The defense doesn't wow me in any factor. I just kind of had to put them there as a 6-11 team. I didn't want to make them that bad, but I feel like it's just how it is with their schedule this year. 4-2 in the division, though, is a bright spot, I guess. Number two.
Yeah, I do have Jacksonville one game over the Colts at 8-9. I'm not that far off from you, though. Pretty good in the division. We just kind of need Trevor Lawrence to take another step, even though they've asked a lot from him. Just to win in this division this year, it's going to be tough. Some low win totals for sure.
Yeah. My number two team is the Colts, going 7-10. A record that would be last in the AFC North or second to last in the AFC East. The Colts are probably the weirdest team in football this year, where there's so much uncertainty that it can kind of be a year where they beat good teams and lose to bad teams throughout the entire season, and no one really knows how good they are, you know, from week 1 to week 18. And that's exactly how I felt going through this entire schedule. They have good wins in my simulation here against the Bears. They beat the Dolphins. They beat the Lions in a game. But they lose to the Giants, you know, something like that. I feel like can really happen with this Colts team. That's partially because of, you know, an unexperienced quarterback like Anthony Richardson, or maybe some injury concern, whatever it is. The Colts are a weird team this year, perhaps the weirdest in football, and I have them going 7-10. Number one.
Yeah, it's the Texans. Just a 10-7 record, but I feel like if they play well in the division, this should be an easy clinch for them. I'm going 5-1. Once you have Indianapolis and Jacksonville getting hot, then we have a real problem here. This could turn into an NFC East situation pretty fast, but I think Houston's going to be good enough to get the job done.
Yeah, I have Houston winning the division as well, too, of course. They do go 9-8 for me, 5-1 in the division, though, which is why they win the division, only going 9-8. 7-1 versus losing teams, but only 2-7 versus winning teams. I had another team that has a rough schedule, and I'm interested to see how CJ Stroud takes a year two jump, or if he does, whatever happens. I do say with some of the defenses they've played throughout the season, like the Jets, going to Green Bay is going to be interesting. The Cowboys are always an interesting squad. Going to Kansas City late in the season, playing Baltimore, I believe, on Christmas Day or something like that. That's a Wednesday game. There's some tough defenses in there. They're going to be really good tests for CJ Stroud. He can succeed in some, but I don't think he'll succeed in all. And that's why it's not a 12-5 or anything like that, but rather a 9-8 that still gets them into the playoffs. Last division in the AFC, we're going to the West. Who is that number four team together?
Yeah, you're going to like this one. Denver Broncos 3-14 at the bottom. Again, the division play is always really weird over here on the West Coast. It probably helps that there's good weather. It's good for the quarterbacks, but Bo Nix has a lot to learn.
Yeah, number 14 for me, surprisingly not the Broncos. I went with the Chargers here. I think the Chargers and the Broncos are going to be terrible, but I'll start off with the Chargers. I look at this team and I see no weapons, and I know they have one of the best quarterbacks in the league in Justin Herbert, but when you rely on him to do so much, you're going to put him in so many tough situations where he's going to get hit trying to get guys open. The running game isn't going to be great either. The offensive line I'm not impressed with. I just don't see how this offense functions unless Herbert does absolutely everything, and eventually it's just going to become too much for him, I'd imagine. Whether it's an injury or they just say, you know what, fuck it, we can't play you in this situation. I think the Chargers end up being pretty bad, especially with a defense that I don't think is going to be too good either. I'm going 4-13 in the first year of John Harbaugh's tenure, or Jim Harbaugh's tenure in Los Angeles. The number three team.
At the three spot, it is not going to be the Chargers. It's the Raiders at 7-10, though. It's a tough schedule, man. And at the end of the day, the tiebreaker goes to the quarterback. I just have really no idea what this offense is going to look like. Are we going dual tight ends? Are we going to run the ball? Is it going to be Minshew mania trying to come back into games? Because I can't really bet on that to come back. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I get that.
The defense is elite, and they'll be back next year.
With who at quarterback is the question?
Milroe.
Milroe, wow. All right, the number three team for me is going to be the Broncos. I couldn't put the Raiders below them. 5-12 is what I have for the Broncos. Another team that the offense just sucks. Like, whether it's Bo Nix or Zach Wilson, whoever's playing quarterback, even Jared Stidham, who knows? I don't think it's going to get the job done for the Broncos. There is no weapons. The defense is declined from what it was in the years past. And even then it was, a fringe top 10 group. So you're probably looking at a bottom 10, bottom 15 group on defense with at least a bottom 10 offense at the absolute best case scenario for them. So the Denver Broncos go 5-12, 2-4 in the division. Those two divisional wins are both against the Chargers. So
yeah,
doesn't mean too much there. The number two spot.
So I do have the Chargers above the Raiders. I have them one game above 8-9. And that's because when I look at this, I see I only have the Chargers playing five teams with a winning record this season. It's not necessarily because they're better than the Raiders. They have a great quarterback. They have a new coach that I trust. They have two elite pass rushers. I think it's going to come down to that last game of the season, week 18, Chargers, Raiders, where AOC might be playing. And I had to give the Chargers the win. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Number two team for me is going to be the Raiders. I'll explain everything here for a second. I had us going 9-0 versus losing teams, but 1-7 versus winning teams. And it's always so tough to pick your own team schedule because you're like, oh, we could win that game. But maybe that's the bias talking. So for any game I had doubt, I said no. The games that we should win, I gave yes to. So I had a win versus the Chargers, win versus the Panthers, win versus the Broncos, win versus Steelers, a couple NFC teams as well, two in there. My case here is there's so many weapons for the Raiders that they actually have a chance to have some things go right in games. And with how good the defense is, you're not going to need to go right for too long to win a game. I expect maybe you need 20 points a game to win. Depending on who you're playing, of course. You know, if you're playing Baltimore, probably going to need a bit more. But the defense is going to win you games, and so are the weapons. Zamir White's going to be good, I'd imagine. Devontae Jacoby, Brock Bowers, Michael Mayer is a strong force, you know, top options for Gardner Minshew to go to. And while, you know, Gardner Minshew isn't the best quarterback, he's a guy who has experience, and that's something that the Raiders haven't really had, you know, over the last 2 years of guys overcoming adversity, because Jimmy Garoppolo never really had to in San Francisco. Everything was just always right there for him. AOC, who I would imagine plays, you know, a handful of games a season. I don't think it's just going to be 17 straight for Gardner. AOC just doesn't quite have that experience yet either. So we'll see how it goes. I think the team will be solid, but I'm not screaming, you know, Super Bowl season for the silver and black this year, that's for sure.
They need some Fitz magic.
Yeah. Then the number one team.
Yeah, it's the top seed again. Kansas City, 15-2, 5-1 in the division. I gave you one because, you know, I had to. But yeah, this team is even better than last year, it appears.
Yeah, the Chiefs 14-3 for me. They co-tie Baltimore for the number one spot in the AFC. We'll figure out how that seeding goes in a second, but like you said, this team somehow got better. And I think that's kind of just speaking to last year's team. I thought last year's team was not that good, ironically enough, even though that they won the Super Bowl. It's the first time I've ever really said that about a Super Bowl champion, that they just did not feel that good throughout the entirety of the season. This year, they really do. They feel like one of the years when Tyreek was there, and maybe they didn't even win the Super Bowl, lost to Brady, whatever, but this team has it, man. They have so many different weapons on offense. They have a defense that's going to come out to play. And they have Patrick Mahomes. And that's all you really need when it's all said and done. So 14-3, the Chiefs go and grab the top spot in the AFC. On to the NFC side. We'll start with the East. It's a fun one, as always. Maybe less competitive than years past. But tell me why the Giants are the last team in the NFC East.
Yeah, the Giants I got going 3-14, 1-5 in the division. They really need another quarterback because, well, it's just not enough. They don't have enough explosive playmakers on the team, specifically the offense. They lost Saquon Barkley. They're going to be looking to draft a guy very high.
Yeah, the number 14 for me is also going to be the Giants. They go 2-15, tied for the worst record in the NFL. Their wins come against the Commanders for one of them, and then also one against the Colts. This team is going to be bad. The offense is going to be bad. The run game that they, you know, relied so heavily on Saquon Barkley is now Devin Singletary. It's not going to be the same. I love Malik Nabers, but he's not going to want to play there after this year, regardless of, you know, how much money he's getting paid or something like that. This team sucks. They'll be probably bad next year as well, too. They just need to, you know, recycle and reset in New York. That's for sure. Number three.
Number three is going to be Washington, but I have them a little lower than I've seen on some of the bets. 4-13, 2-4 in the division, but it's a tough schedule for a rookie quarterback, specifically a rookie quarterback who they're probably not going to let throw very much in his first year. So more of a development situation where you're looking to draft a new left tackle rather than trying to sneak into the wild card.
Yeah. I also have the Commanders going 4-13 as a three spot in the NFC East. They start off 2-0 for me. They beat the Buccaneers and they beat the Giants. But after that, it goes downhill with going 2-13 over the next 15 games to end out the season. It's just the offensive weapons, man. Like I like Jaden Daniels a ton. That's been well documented. I like Terry McLaurin. But outside of that, like, you need some other guys for your guy to throw to. You need, you know, some guys that can really run the ball. And I don't think they have that right now. I don't think they did a good job really going about it in the offseason to help out Jaden Daniels. You know, I understand maybe Austin Eckler or something like that, but that's not really a guy that's going to get you much, you know, traction in winning games, I would say. So Commanders are going to be bad. I think everybody's expecting them to be bad, and 4-13 just feels right for me. Number two,
we got the Eagles way up there at 12-5. I have them going 8-1 at home. That includes the Brazil game. I think they're going to beat Green Bay. And I feel like they were just a little bit off last year. And, you know, we talk about playmakers. They're going to be able to recreate a lot of the same stuff other than, of course, the big push of Kelce.
Wow. I have the Cowboys as the number two team. I have them going 11-6. I think there's going to be a slight downstep from last year, and I think that kind of comes with CD just not being there for the entirety of training camp and that kind of whole disaster going on there that's now fixed, but still, I wouldn't say perfect in my mind. Dak Prescott's playing on a final year of a contract. He's not, doesn't have an extension right now. He's not, you know, locked up for the future. And I feel like there's starting to be a bit of bad blood there. So maybe he moves next year. I just think there's a lot of moving parts on this Cowboys team in comparison to what there was in years past. They're still going to be good, still going to make the playoffs, still go 11-6. But I don't think they can compete with the Eagles for that top spot. Number one.
I gave it to the Cowboys. We got, can you hear the train?
No.
Good. Okay, perfect. It was blasting. Anyways, Cowboys 13-4. I did it. 5-1 in the division. I really like the matchups. I feel like all of their toughest games this year are at home. And all the teams that have losing records, they're playing them on the road. So if they can win over half of those games, 7-1 against losing teams, that'll give them the one spot. It will. I kind of was more focused on the math here than the emotion of the Cowboys locker room, because it definitely can all fall apart, and it probably will in the playoffs. But in the regular season, I just kind of want to wait and see what happens.
Number one for me is going to be the Eagles. They go 15-2, the best record in the NFL. And I love this team, man. There's so many weapons on offense for Jalen Hurts. We talked about the running game last year kind of being their Achilles heel a little bit, where it wasn't really Jalen Hurts, but it was, you know, the inconsistency of a DeAndre Swift or Kenneth Gainwell back there. They're not going to have that problem now. They got Saquon Barkley back there. And we saw how good he was with the Giants when he had shit everywhere around him. He has, you know, Pro Bowl level players all around him on offense now and a great O-line. Saquon's going to feast this year. The Eagles are going to be really damn good. And I think their offense is going to be damn near unstoppable. So the defense isn't going to have to play too well, especially in the regular season. I have the two losses coming against the Browns, who I think are a tough team, and then going to Baltimore later in the season. So Philly goes 15-2, a perfect 9-0 versus losing teams, and 6-0 in the division. NFC North is the next one, starting off with the number four team. It's got to be the Vikings, right?
Yeah, Vikings at 3-14 will be at the bottom. I have them playing okay in the division, and that's about it, because although Sam Darnold is an okay player, you know, will be a backup in the league for probably a while, there's not a lot of help for him right now.
Yeah, I got the Vikings going 4-13, the number four spot in the division, of course. I have them going 2-4 in the division. I think maybe that's some of the younger quarterbacks in the division kind of being, you know, susceptible to divisional games where it's always tough regardless of how good teams are. But this team just has no defense. The offense outside of Justin Jefferson and TJ Hawkinson post week 12 is not going to be that good, I'd imagine. Jordan Addison as well, too, of course. They'll run into a few games and a couple, you know, halves, I would say. But nobody's saying this team's going to make the playoffs, and I'm especially not. The number three team.
Yeah, it's going to be the Bears. But I surprisingly had them over 500, 9-8. The real trouble comes in the division, like it usually does with young quarterbacks, 1-5 in Caleb's first year. But I really think they're going to make some progress. They spent a bunch of money, and no one really talks about the defense improving. It should. That's the natural progression of a defensive head coach. By the time it's his third year, you should be a top 10 defense.
Yeah. I also have the Bears as my number three team. They go 9-8. I like this team a lot, though, is a weird thing. Like, the run game might be a little tough with DeAndre Swift, is kind of what I just talked about being bad for the Eagles last year. But the pass game with Caleb Williams, you know, if all goes right, can be really damn good. I put a lot of faith in the Caleb being what, you know, is said about him. I think he's going to be a really damn good quarterback. And even in year one, I think they're going to really feel that impact with him. Not as much as year two or year three. It's not going to be a year where they win 12 or 13 games or anything like that. But I think a 9-8 season where you just miss out on the playoffs is not going to be a full-on failure in year one with Caleb. Number two,
I got the Green Bay Packers at 13 wins, a 13-win wild card. That's just how the math added up. They did very well in the division, 4-2. They just didn't end up at that top spot. But the regular season should be a breeze for these guys. There are some injuries on the offense, but I'm sure they can figure it out. It's a great offensive mind. Jordan Love looks to be taking that next step.
Number two for me is going to be the Packers. I didn't quite go crazy putting them 13 wins. I went with 10-7 is a more safe option, I'd say. I haven't played really well at home, but maybe struggle a bit more away from Lambeau. This team's going to be good, but there is still, you know, kind of, I would say inexperienced, but the, you know, meshing of personality is going to still have to happen on that offense, especially with adding in a guy like Josh Jacobs, who's been so into that Raiders offense for the last three or four, you know, four, 5 years now at this point, is going to just be completely changing. It seems like it's going to be his backfield, though, with A.J. Dillon being out for the entire season and Aaron Jones going to be gone. Also, another guy on the Vikings who, you know, should have a decent season at some point. I like this Packers team. I have them in the playoffs. I just couldn't get by with the 13-win team over there in Green Bay. But they'll still be good. Number two,
I have the Lions. Of course, they're Detroit, 14-3. Maybe they end up not splitting with Green Bay, and it makes it look a little further apart here. But I really think it's a big year for dome teams in the NFC, because it seems to be which quarterback falls apart first determines who's going to go to the Super Bowl out of this conference. So I'm expecting a big year for Detroit's offense.
Yeah, I also have Detroit as the number one team, of course, also going 14-3. They're 5-1 in the division. The one loss comes in Lambeau. That's probably a Sunday night game. Oh, it's not. It's a normal time game on November 3rd. But regardless, Lions team's going to be good. I have way more faith in them than I do in the Packers or the Bears right now. That's because I saw it last year, and it really came together for pretty much the entirety of the season, except for the second half of the NFC Championship game. They don't have a bad half if, you know, there isn't that tip pick that wasn't a pick and then into Ayuk's arms or whatever. They're probably going to the Super Bowl. Didn't happen, of course, but the Lions team is going to really want to get back to the NFC Championship and really going to want to win it this time. So the Lions go 14-3 in my book. NFC South, terrible division last year. Maybe a bit better this year. Who knows? We'll figure it out here. Starting off with the number four team. Got to be Carolina.
Yeah, this is part of the reason I think Green Bay ended up with so many wins, is because I have this division probably the worst right now. We started off with Carolina, 3-14. They spent a ton of money, but until we know, it starts from the top, man. The ownership and the head coach don't get along with Bryce Young, can't figure out how to get guys open for him. It's never going to work. But we'll see how Dave Canales does, right? That's what he does. Help quarterbacks who are short.
Yeah, and I think Dave Canales is a decent head coach. I think it just – at least he's a decent offensive mind. I just don't think we're going to see it quite yet with this roster. I do also have going 2-15, so we found the team that's tied with the Giants for the worst record in the NFL. Oddly enough, one of their wins, it comes in the division against the Falcons, who we'll find out where I put in a little bit. Their other win comes against the Giants. It's too early for Bryce Young. He's still going to get murdered this year, I'd imagine. I hope to see a jump, because I don't want to be calling a number one pick a bust at the start of year three. But it seems to be trending this way with how the Panthers just didn't support him correctly. So, hopefully they got the right head coach. You never really know. Hopefully we see some jumps or in some improvements on their offense. You know, they added Deontay Johnson. They got the running back and Jonathan Brooks, who should show up some point in the season, but 2-15 for the Carolina Panthers, and I don't think that shocked anyone. Number three.
Yeah, here we got New Orleans, 5-12. Despite splitting the division 3-3, I think this is one of the worst O-lines in the league. It's going to get Derek Carr killed, and we're going to see Spencer Rattler at some point trying to throw deep balls to Shaheed, and it's just not good enough.
Yeah, I also have the Saints as the number three team. I have them even worse than what you had. I have them going 4-13, but again, oddly enough, they split in the division going 3-3. I think that's just how the South works. There's so much craziness in those games that you're bound to find into a couple, and I think that kind of speaks to the Panthers as well, too. The Saints team just doesn't have it, man. The defense is going to be worse than it was last year. The offense is probably going to be worse than it was last year. Derek Carr, like you said, is going to get killed. Spencer Rattler is probably going to play a handful of games in here. While he's going to probably have a couple highlights, I don't think he's going to have a lot of good quality games in there, especially in a year one scenario. So Saints go 4-13 and obviously miss the playoffs by quite a bit. The number two team.
Number two, I am going to go with Tampa Bay. 8-9, just under 500. The big problem here is I think a lot of teams around them got better across the NFC, and they kind of stayed the same, got a little older. Baker Mayfield doesn't really do much when the lights are on. It seems like when everyone's doubting him, he can pull through, but I don't know. It's a little scary. I got him going 2-6 against playoff teams this season, and you're not going to make the playoffs doing that.
Yeah, I also have the Bucs at not 8-9. I have them at 9-8, so one game better than you. But I have a very similar vibe around this team. They really do anything to improve their team? And if you don't do anything to get better, you're getting worse. And instead, even if you don't really do much, because the age is going to change for everybody. One of these guys, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans getting up there in years. I still think they'll be effective, but maybe not as effective as years past. Baker Mayfield, will he be able to do the same thing he did last year? Who knows? Will the defense be as good as it was in years past? Who knows? But when there's that many question marks, I really don't think you can say that team is going to be that good. I do have them going 9-8, though, you know, one game above 500. And we'll see if that's good enough for a playoff spot when we talk about that in a minute. But the number one team, Skyler, the Atlanta Falcons. How about that?
Yeah, I got them finally getting the job done. I hinted at it earlier. It's going to be a big year for the Dome teams, a lot of those in the South. So they go 9-8, split the division. But the big thing is I have them with one of the weakest strengths of schedule this season, 9-3 against teams with losing records.
Falcons, I also have one of the division. I have them a bit better than what you had, or quite a bit better, actually. I have them going 13-4. I think this offense is going to be star-studded, especially if Kirk Cousins is playing all the games. We'll see how they navigate that with Michael Penix Jr. But I'm happy I'm not making that decision, because I think Kirk Cousins should light it up this year. He's got Bijan Robinson. He's got Drake London. He's got Kyle Pitts. He's got weapons all over the field, and I think that's exactly something that Kirk Cousins was really good at in Minnesota before he got hurt last year. And I think the injury is not going to be something that's really going to, you know, labor him that much in this season. And if it does, put Michael Penix in there, and we've seen that he has the ability to sling it around as well too. So I say Atlanta goes 13-4. It'll probably be more like 11-6 if we see Penix go in, but I still think this team wins the division regardless of whoever's playing quarterback. On to the NFC West, the last division that we got now, the final four teams, as Skyler's seeing that the Jets locked up Michael Carter II right now on a 3-year, $30 million extension. But we'll move on to the NFC West. Number four team, Skyler, who do you go with here?
I went with the Cardinals at the bottom again, 5-12. I think Kyler has the capability to light it up in the desert, but not really by himself. We haven't seen him be able to carry a team like that. It's a brutal schedule, man. 1-5 in the division. We got to give him some more time to, you know, link up with Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, I think we're going to see bright spots for the Cardinals this year, but not bright enough to be higher than fourth in the division. I have him going 7-10, so it's a pretty good record for the last team in the division, I would say. And that's because they're not a terrible team. If they're in the South, either of the South, you know, AFC or NFC, I think they're competing for a playoff spot. But with the teams that they got to play twice, the teams that they got to play in general throughout this entire season, it's going to be tough. So Cardinals go 7-10 and claim the last spot in the NFC West. Number three,
it is going to be Seattle, like most people expect. Also a rough record, probably lower than yours, 6-11. Definitely, right? Because the Cardinals had 7 in yours. But we've seen this year so many times, specifically us too, with the Jets and the Raiders. You're supposed to get a little better. It's the defensive head coach with the trying to rebuild the defense. And sometimes you just forget about the offense. And can Geno Smith do it by himself with not a lot of help out there other than DK? Specifically coaching-wise, I don't know what they're going to do offensively. We just got to wait and see. So 6-11, I didn't trust them.
Yeah, I have Seattle going 7-10 as well, too. So not far off of yours. They tie with the Cardinals, but due to how they played against common opponents, Seattle's technically higher or whatever. I just think Geno is the problem here. Like, it's not something against Geno personally, but he's not going to get you the job done anymore, I would say. It was a nice, you know, 1 year that he had 2 years ago. Last year was a little bit, and this year, I think, in year three with him, it was kind of the year to start bringing in another guy, and they didn't really do that. So I have Seattle going 7-10, 2-4 in the division. They're going to have some good wins. They're going to have some bad losses. First year for Mike McDonald as a head coach over there, though, in Seattle. And I think he's a really good head coach. It's just going to take some time for him to build his roster, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Number two,
we got the LA Rams, very similar to Green Bay here with the 13-4 record. You can give or take a couple games. The point of it is they play indoors. Their offense is going to be back next year, just as powerful. And they've been drafting extremely well for losing all these players after their Super Bowl run. So they should be able to pretty much repeat what happened, maybe even a little better if Stafford doesn't wreck his hand again, like he usually does.
Yeah. The Rams are also my number three team. However, I have them going 8-9. I do not think this team is going to be as good. And I think that's partially due to the schedule that they play. I have them playing 10 games versus winning record teams, but obviously doesn't include Seattle or the Cardinals. So take away 4 of those, you know, 17 games you play in the season, and 10 of those 13 games are going to be against good teams. And I have them just kind of being the team that's the odd man out. I think, you know, the Buccaneers getting to play the Saints and the Panthers works a lot more in their favor than, say, the Rams having to play the Niners, the Seahawks, and the Cardinals 6 games out of their 17. I still like this team, though. I think there's a lot of upside, and I would not be shocked at all if they make the playoffs. Just in this scenario, I think it's going to be tough for them to get in with the schedule that they play and just how it's going to be this entire year. Number one team, the Niners.
Yeah, Santa Clara 49ers, 14-3. I have them dominating this division. I don't think all of the offseason drama is going to affect the regular season very much. This is a very well-run machine. I have them, as of right now, 9-0 at home. Probably won't end up that way, but that's how confident I am in Kyle Shanahan in the regular season.
Yeah. I also have the Niners as the number one team in the NFC West. Surprisingly, the record isn't that good. I had them going 10-7, which seems very shocking for me as well, too. I was looking at their schedule again. I was like, where can I find wins? But I think some of the road games they play late in the season, Green Bay, Buffalo, Miami, are going to be all tough games. I know they handle Green Bay well, specifically, usually. But you never know. Things change. Green Bay seems to have the upper hand in regular season games against them. It's kind of weird. They have a tough game in Seattle, Thursday Night Football. And obviously a week one game that could be tough for them as well, too, especially, you know, coming into this, you know, Ayuk hasn't practiced. Trent Williams is just now back. And some of the stuff, obviously, you know, Ricky Pearsall playing in that game as well, too. So I think the Niners could experience some troubles early and some troubles late as well, too, with some of the tougher divisional – or not divisional, some of the tougher road trips that they make. But still 10-7 wins the division. So who cares?
Yeah.
Moving on to our playoff teams, the next segment here. I guess we'll just go – I'll let you do AFC 1 through – or 7 through 1, whatever order, and then I'll do mine in that same factor.
Okay. Well, I hinted at my number one seed earlier. Overall, it's going to be Kansas City still. Not too far off. Number two is Baltimore at 13-4. We got Miami at 11-6. And Houston getting that four seed out of the South. My wild card teams will be Cincinnati, the New York Jets, and Buffalo.
Yeah, for the AFC for me, I have Kansas City getting the number one spot at 14-3. Osa at 14-3, but due to tiebreakers, the Baltimore Ravens get the number two spot. So that week one game can mean a ton. Who knows? That's just crazy how the NFL is like that. But regardless, the number three team is the Miami Dolphins, who go 12-5, a last division winner. Also, the worst team that gets into the AFC playoffs record-wise is Houston Texans, going 9-8. And then the three wild cards are the Jets at 12-5, and then Cincinnati at the sixth spot, going 11-6, and Cleveland going 11-6 and getting the seventh spot. The Raiders and Buffalo both go 10-7 and just miss out on a playoff spot. On to the NFC side.
In the NFC, I have all of the usual top dogs just dominating the rest of them. So we got the Niners at 14-3 at the top spot, tied with Detroit, also 14-3. They will get the two in my simulation. Dallas surprises with the three, 13-4. The Falcons will get that home game, even though they're 9-8. And my wildcard teams will be the LA Rams, Green Bay Packers, and Philadelphia Eagles. I think we have the same teams.
All right. The number one team for me, Philadelphia, goes 15-2. Number two, Detroit, goes 14-3. Number three, Atlanta, goes 13-4. Number four, last division winner, San Francisco, goes 10-7. My three wild card spots go Dallas, 11-6, Green Bay, 10-7. And then my last spot, the number seven, is Tampa Bay, going 9-8. Chicago also goes 9-8, but due to tiebreaker, they missed out. The Rams go 8-9, like I said. Obviously miss out that spot as well, too. But Tampa Bay gets this last sneaky spot in the playoffs, just like they did last year, I want to say. And I want to say they had the sixth seed. Oh, no, they had the four seed last year, right?
I think so.
They won the division. But yeah, similar record, just the Falcons are better than they were in years past. Before we get into the playoffs, we got to do the award shows, because that's how it goes. We got the NFL honors right before the Super Bowl. So I guess we could have done playoffs and then awards and then Super Bowl, but keep it all in, you know, strict fashion here. Starting off with the awards, I guess we'll go from the smaller awards to the bigger ones to keep the, you know, the suspicion on or whatever. The comeback player of the year, penciling in his A-Rod.
Yeah, he doesn't need to be perfect. Just let Aaron be himself, and the Jets will have their best offense since the days of Chad Pennington and Curtis Martin. You never know with the Achilles, but Aaron's one of those guys you can't really write off till you see him.
Yeah, I have Aaron Rodgers pretty easily as comeback player of the year. I is it Joe Burrow? He's probably another candidate in there.
Richardson.
Richardson as well, too. He could get it. But I think A-Rod, if he has a good season and the Jets make a playoffs as, you know, 5 seed going 12-5, it'd be pretty realistic for him to win that award. Coach of the year.
Yeah, of course, Robert Saleh, my guy, has some good odds for a guy coaching a team that could do some damage. But I really don't think the media is going to go in that direction. It doesn't seem that they like him very much. So we'll go to his protege, D'Amico Ryans, who should be able to get Houston ready for the playoffs. They don't necessarily need a big regular season just to win a division that has been that close. Could be enough for him.
At 13-4, the Atlanta Falcons would definitely have the coach of the year. So yeah. I have Raheem Morris getting it. I think that team's going to be good. Whether it's his doing or not, who knows. But he was a big culture guy a couple years ago when he was their interim head coach, oddly enough. Weird spot where he was an interim and then someone else got hired and then he ended up getting hired back at the spot after that regime left. Kind of just destiny, I guess. Regardless, Raheem Morris wins coach of the year with the Atlanta Falcons going 13-4. Defensive rookie of the year, always kind of a sleeper pick. I feel like a fun sleeper pick is always kind of in store here.
Yeah, I'm going to go with, I believe he was the first defensive player taken in the draft, Leiatu Latu. The only question marks as a prospect have been the medical kind. So now that everyone knows he's all good to go, the ceiling's through the roof. Gus Bradley's done a pretty underrated job rebuilding the Indy defense. It's kind of a perfect situation for him.
Yeah. I will say with Defensive Rookie of the Year here, I don't think we're seeing a ridiculous season here. Yeah. I don't think we're seeing, you know, like a 15 sack season from any of these guys or anything like that. We're probably looking at 7 to 10 sacks, a forced fumble or two, maybe an interception, who knows. So my Defensive Rookie of the Year, a guy who I really liked in college when he was at Florida State, is going to be Jared Verse. This guy's a stud. He joins a Rams defense who already has a ton of young studs on it, and I think he's going to fit in perfectly. He's going to be, no pause, a big sack guy, and I think probably 8 or 9 sacks, you know, with a forced fumble or two should be enough to get it done. We're not going to see any crazy star in week one, I would say, or in year one, I would say. Offensive Rookie of the Year, Skyler, who'd you choose?
Yeah, I'm sticking with Caleb, the number one pick. Who knows if he'll beat Jay Cutler's records off rip, like some people have said, but we do know he has the potential to be exactly what Chicago has been praying for the last millennium. I'm curious to see what he looks like in a bad weather game before I start giving him the nod in division games, because that's kind of the deciding factor if he's going to be a Mahomes-level player in this league.
Nothing crazy here. I have Caleb Williams as well, too. I think you could probably make a case for Marvin Harrison or maybe Michael Penix if he plays the majority of those games for the Falcons and they do that good. I don't really see anyone else really competing for that spot, I would say. I don't really think there's going to be Jaden Daniels is going to be up there. I don't think Bo Nix or Drake May is going to be up there either. So Caleb Williams, rookie starter who plays the most games and, you know, has the best team, is likely going to be the guy who's in there. So Caleb gets it for the O'Roy. Defensive player of the year. Fun one.
Yeah, there's some interesting guys who are going to be on this list at some point in their career, but I still think it's the core five edge rushers from last season who we got to keep at the top. So I'm going to go with Micah Parsons to get his first one. Honorable mention to Garrett, Watt, Crosby, and Bosa. Those guys are going to have very similar numbers, sacks above 15.
I think I've chosen this guy 2 or 3 years in a row because it's going to happen eventually, and I need to be right when it happens. I chose Mad Max Crosby. It's my defensive player of the year. It's bound to happen, and I think if the team goes 10-7 and has, you know, this defense that was like how it was the second half of last year, Crosby should be the deep boy. So hopefully Mad Max gets it for a cool award. It'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I'm going with Breece Hall. Breece is going to get the ball every single time he's on the field until he runs out of gas. His receiver grade was actually higher than his running back grade last season. If he just lined up at receiver for the entire season, he'd be a Pro Bowler. You don't have to worry about that. He's much younger than CMC and looking to step into that same exact role. So if he stays healthy, I think it's very possible he turns into the next great one.
I think the next great one, I like Breeze a lot, but I think the next great one resides in Atlanta, and it's going to be Bijan Robinson. With how much he's going to get used this year, I think is exactly what that offense wants. I mean, they got Rams guys coming over, so you know they're going to know how to utilize him. And with him not being used last year, you're just looking at a guy who got better, who's got less wear and tear on him. And I think that offense, the offensive coordinator, is just, I mean, if I had a healthy Bijan Robinson at my expense, I'd get him the ball every single possible play that I could, whether it's passing game, whether it's run game. They're going to find so many ways to use this guy. He might have 20 touchdowns. He might have close to 2,000 yards. He's going to be really damn good. And I think if he has a season like that, the Falcons do as good as I expect him to, he's going to be up there. The second candidate I had was Jahmyr Gibbs, although I just don't think he's going to get the total touches to really make it happen. Probably the smarter move by Detroit, probably helps lengthen his career. But Jahmyr Gibbs, if he was in Atlanta, I think would be the guy to get it as well, too. I think he's an absolute stud. And then the MVP.
Yeah, I still think Mahomes being at plus 500 because he didn't get it last year is going to be the move again. Slight upgrades with Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy are enough for me.
Yeah, it's Mahomes. We're kind of entering that second era for Mahomes where it's so easy to compare him to Brady, so you kind of have to. But like the MVP era was kind of another thing for Brady where he wasn't winning as many Super Bowls, but you know, kind of got MVP, it seems like, every single year. I think Mahomes and the Chiefs are just as good. But this year, I wouldn't be shocked if he throws for, you know, 45 touchdowns, 5,000 yards or something like that. Because he's got a ton of weapons. So Patrick Mahomes wins his third MVP, I would say. Is that his third?
Yeah.
On to the playoffs. Super wild card weekend is always really fun. We'll start in the AFC. We got the 5-4, 6-3, and 7-2. So tell me those matchups and the winners for you, Skyler.
All right, so we'll start it off with the 5-4 in the AFC. I actually do have Houston winning their home game against Cincinnati. It's a tough one. I really like Joe Burrow. I was thinking maybe this is a possible Super Bowl team this year, finally, but I really like the Dome teams this year. You want me to
go ahead and do it? Yeah, do all yours.
Okay, well, perfect, because 3-6 is the Jets going into Miami, and of course, I'm going to pick them over Miami. I hate Miami. I compared this current Jets team to the 98 team earlier when they beat old Dan Marino in his last chance at the Super Bowl. So I think they could beat Miami. A road playoff game is always tough, but against this team, I'm not picking Miami.
Yeah.
And kind of the opposite with my last one here, I got the 7-seeded Buffalo Bills going into Baltimore and getting the job done again. Baltimore really didn't change anything from last season, and I don't have enough evidence to prove they're ready for the playoffs.
Yeah, AFC wild card for me, my 5-4 is going to be the Jets going into Houston to start it off. I do have the Jets coming out alive. I think, well, that's a matchup that we see in the regular season, so that should be good. But the defense, you know, I'm not trying to pick on the young quarterback for inexperience, you know, just, you know, auto-generate, you know, reason why they couldn't win, but I think it's very reasonable against the Jets defense, who's probably going to be a top 3, 4, 5 group in the league. I think the offense is going to be better than what the Houston's defense is going to be. So I had the Jets winning that game there. 6-3 is going to be Cincinnati going into Miami. So kind of a flip flop of matchups for us there. And I have Cincinnati getting the win there. That's a playoff team in Cincinnati that's done it. Miami's been in it, but they haven't gotten it done before. And I think Cincinnati, if they're healthy going into a playoff game in Miami, where weather isn't going to be a factor, they're going to be quite all right. Give me Cincinnati in that game. And the last one, divisional matchup, 7, Cleveland going into number 2, Baltimore. And Baltimore gets the dub. Maybe they don't get it done long term, but I say Baltimore gets the win here in wild card week. NFC side, Skyler, who are your wild card games here?
Yeah, a little bit crazier on the NFC side for sure. We got Atlanta hosting the Rams, and I am going to take the Rams for all the reasons I said earlier. I don't know if Kirk Cousins is going to survive this whole year. The Rams have a lot of experience, especially on the road in this game, so I'm not worried about them being a 5-seed. I'm sorry. We'll keep going. Dallas is hosting Green Bay, a really fun one every time it happens. And I am going to take Green Bay on the road. Back-to-back dome teams losing, unfortunately for them. But 7-2, Philly going into Detroit. In any other situation, I'm taking Philly. They're not playing at Lincoln Financial. They're playing at Ford Field in the dome. And I don't think this offense can be stopped right now.
Yeah. NFC wildcard weekend for me, starting off number 5, Dallas goes into number 4, San Francisco. Do I really need to say the outcome for that? It's going to be the Niners beating the Cowboys for yet again in the playoffs. The next game, 6-seeded Green Bay goes into number 3, Atlanta, rematch of the NFC championship game in 2015 when the Falcons and Matt Ryan took down A-Rod and the Green Bay Packers to go to the Super Bowl. We all know how that Super Bowl ended, but this wildcard game is going to end with Kirk Cousins getting the win against Green Bay there, a team that he's had success against before in Minnesota. Number 7, Tampa Bay versus number 2, Detroit. Similar game to last year. I think it plays out a pretty similar way. Detroit gets the win. 4-3-2 advance in the NFC wild card. All upper, or not upper, but non-underdog teams. Favorite teams. Oh, my God. Couldn't find the word. AFC divisional round. Skyler, tell me the matchups and who you got advancing to the conference.
Yeah, we'll start it off with the Houston Texans hosting the Jets, a matchup you just had. I promise I didn't go into this being a homer, but 99% of the time, the predecessor beats the protege. We saw the Jets defense hold CJ Stroud to like 94 yards last year. And I think if they matched up in the playoffs, I'd be pretty confident in picking the Jets, even on the road. Things are a little different in Mahomes versus Allen. I don't know, 4.0 at this point. Mahomes gets the job done at home. That it's just basically impossible to win an Arrowhead this late in the season.
Question for you. How badly did you want to pick Buffalo there so you that you could have the Jets versus Buffalo Bills AFC championship?
I don't even know, man. I mean, I'm sure the rest of the football world would hate that matchup because it'd be the ugliest 13-10 game ever.
My picks here, this one's tough, Skyler. The number 5 Jets go into number 2 Baltimore.
Yeah.
And how you look is you kind of understand what my pick is going to be here. I'm going to pick the Ravens. And then number 6 Cincinnati going up against number 1 Cleveland, or not Cleveland. Oh my God, number 1 Cleveland would be crazy. Number 1 Kansas City. I think Joe Burrow could do it. I just don't think he will do it. So Kansas City advances, and it's the Baltimore versus Kansas City AFC championship, same as last year. On to the NFC divisional round. What are your picks and your games here?
Yeah, I actually have 2 rematches from last season. We'll start it off with the Lions and the Rams. I think the Lions are trending way upwards, as we've talked about all episode basically, and the Rams slightly downwards. And I think this is going to be a massive year for Detroit. They don't have to worry about weather in this matchup because they the number 2 seed. They're not playing San Francisco yet. They're going to light it up and take down the Rams in a shootout. The next matchup, it's San Francisco hosting Green Bay. I do think San Francisco gets them back. I'm a little concerned about Jordan Love in the playoffs again. It's because it's not like he doesn't have the experience in the playoffs. That's just basically all he's done so far. It's hard to compare him to other people. So I have San Francisco winning it again, trying to go back to the Super Bowl.
NFC divisional games for me, number 3 Atlanta at number 2 Detroit would be a really fun game. And I have Detroit winning here. I think Ford Field with chance to go to the NFC championship would be a whole lot of tough places or a tough place to play. So Atlanta loses, Detroit advances. And then number 4 San Francisco at number 1 Philly. We saw this matchup last year in the regular season. Did not play out the way Philly wanted it to. I think this year with these teams, it's going to play out the way that Philly wants it to. I'll stand on that. The Philadelphia Eagles are the best team in the NFC, and I think taking on the Niners would be a big accomplishment there. So that sets up a Philly versus Detroit NFC championship game. But first, the AFC championship game, the Jets versus Kansas City. How does that go?
You know, it sounds a little crazy out of context, but about every 10 years, the Jets will go up against a juggernaut in the AFC championship. You know, we had them against Elway 1 year when they lost, and Elway, of course, won the Super Bowl. Peyton, when he won his first Super Bowl, Brady, and Big Ben was the most recent one, I believe. So, you know, the Jets at some point are going to jet. Of course, I'm not going to pick them to win the Super Bowl. So this will be the game where we're going to have some massive injury and just slowly get beaten down by Mahomes.
I've seen it one too many times. I have Baltimore versus Kansas City in my AFC championship. It doesn't matter who's playing Kansas City in the playoffs. The Chiefs are going to win the game. So Kansas City advances to another Super Bowl. AFC Championship, I have Detroit versus Philly. You have SF versus Philly?
Detroit going into Santa Clara.
Oh, Detroit going into Santa Clara. Same as last year.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're going to get them back this time. They improved the secondary a lot. That was, like, the number one issue why they didn't win them was probably the safeties. And that's not a big problem in today's NFL, right? Jared Goff has been here before. He's been here as a favorite, as an underdog. I think he can do it again. I really think he's that kind of player, even though maybe the physical abilities don't look like he can be. I think he can go down as a legend and get back to the Super Bowl.
I have number 2 Detroit going into number 1 Philly. Like you said, I think if this game is in SF or something like that, they're playing the Niners, I think it's a bit easier to win. I don't think the home field advantage is quite as strong there as some of the other spots in the NFC. In Philly, I think it's going to be really tough for Detroit to win. I think this Philadelphia team is really damn good as well, too. They advance to the Super Bowl for me, which sets up a Kansas City versus the Eagles Super Bowl, you have Kansas City versus Detroit. Mm-hmm. Skyler, who is your Super Bowl champion and who is the Super Bowl MVP?
You know, the Super Bowl is going to be in a dome this year, Kyle, in New Orleans. However, I'm still going to pick Kansas City. Until I see them collapse, I can't do it. Detroit, San Francisco, even Philly, they're just not as good when they go down early. And that's what's going to happen again here. If Kansas City goes up by 10 at any point in this game, you can basically write off Detroit.
Kansas City versus Philly for me, dome or not, Philly or not, I can't pick against Mahomes until he proves me otherwise. And they won back-to-back Super Bowls, especially this last one, I think really confirmed it's a Mahomes world, and we're just living in it. The media might want to convince you it's a Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce world. No, the fuck it ain't. It's a Mahomes world that we're living in. And it could be Xavier Worthy's as well, too. Regardless, Kansas City wins the Super Bowl, and the MVP is Patrick Mahomes, because the MVPs in the NFL are boring. They're always the same people.
Sometimes you get a series, man, in there.
Yeah, that's pretty rare, though. We got a Malcolm Smith that was pretty crazy. We got, I don't know, like I said, but that's about it. Cooper Kupp, you know, like it's mainly the quarterback. Regardless, Mahomes winning the Super Bowl MVP wouldn't shock anyone. Sorry for the boring pick, but it is the right pick in my mind. And that'll take us through the NFL preview here on to the second half, where we're talking college football.
Yeah, it was a pretty epic week of college football, even though that's not the main focus today. I want to make sure we talk a little about this. So I have my updated Heisman watch. We'll start off from the bottom. Number five, I felt like Jalen Milroe deserved to stay on the list from the preseason list. Yes, Nick Saban's gone. The structure of Alabama's team might be gone, but that actually might help Jalen Milroe as an individual, because things are going to be really easy for him this year. We already saw a 7-9 start, passing 280 scrimmage yards and 5 touchdowns in about a half. Next week they host South Florida, so expect similar numbers from Milroe. Number four is a massive riser, the receiver from Arizona, Teteroa McMillan. You just knew we were heading in this direction after how great last year's receiver class was. And here's another guy capable of going for 300 through the air. He had 4 touchdowns as well against New Mexico, and it's probably going to do the same against Northern Arizona if they don't pull him in the second quarter. Number three, it's going to be my guy, Ashton Jeanty. Very similar opponent to what Ollie Gordon did. And Ollie Gordon didn't have 6 touchdowns, so he was the odd man out this week. Jeanty, we talked about it earlier. It was 6 touchdowns against Georgia Southern. Let's see if he could do it against Oregon. You know, maybe if they only lose by, 14 to 20 points, and he's putting up a similar stat line, then he's legit for the Heisman race. You never really know with the group of five. Number two, I got Cam Ward with probably the biggest jump out of anybody so far. For the draft, too. We'll get into that later on in the year. But, wow, he looked incredible in Gainesville, destroying the Gators, 385 through the air, 3 touchdowns. If you're unfamiliar with this story, you might be wondering, who is this guy? Why is he not the number one pick? But a couple of tune-up games coming up, Florida A&M and Ball State, he's not going anywhere. And number one, I couldn't take down Travis Hunter. He had 3 incredible touchdown catches to win against North Dakota State in a close one. I think as long as he's healthy and he's playing both ways, he should win the Heisman, unless some of these other guys I talk about put up even bigger video game numbers. They have a much tougher assignment. They're playing at Nebraska, Dylan Raiola, next week. A real test for them, for sure. The winner of that game will be ranked, I guarantee it. And that's the Heisman race. We'll get into a little scheduling, what to watch for next year. We do have NFL games on Sunday, Thursday, Friday, Monday. So it's mainly going to be on Saturday. We'll start off 9 a.m. It's the game of the week, man. Number 3, Texas at number 10, Michigan. Michigan looked pretty rough. I think as long as Texas doesn't have a bunch of turnovers from Quinn Ewers, they should win this one easily. Michigan defense is great, but they can win by 10. Texas has a senior quarterback for a reason. The 12:30 slate has a couple of good Big 12 games to start it off. They're kicking off their conference play next week. I like Baylor at number 11, Utah. We get to see the 60-year guy Cam Rising finally come back from the injury and see how he looks against a real team. Obviously, you know, some of those Big 12 teams we know are a little better than advertised. I'm sorry about Stanford. That was a good game, though.
Yes, it is.
Iowa State actually plays their rival, number 21, Iowa, too, at that same time. So that's, you know, you could be flipping back and forth. You want to see the high-scoring game or the low-scoring game? At 4:30, everybody should be checking in on Colorado at Nebraska. Like I said, it's Sanders and Hunter against Dylan Raiola, the top quarterback from his recruiting class. But the ABC game is going to be a double-ranked matchup. It's going to be the Duke's Mayo Classic, number 14, Tennessee, Nico Iamaliva, against number 24, NC State. Pretty good defense, and also Grayson McCall from Coastal Carolina. 7 o'clock, the West Coast slate. Everybody should watch Boise at Oregon. I really hope they don't get blown out, but Oregon did not look like the normal Oregon with Dylan Gabriel at quarterback against Idaho. I think we could have a real West Coast classic like we used to every night. Way too late. Mountain West after dark, baby.
Let's go.
All right, that's the slate for you. I'm sure other games will possibly have upset alerts, like, man, Texas Tech, Abilene Christian last week. Sheesh. But college football is awesome, always.
Yeah. I had a question for you before we get into bets. Kind of putting you on the spot here, but who is the team that, like, you're like, holy shit, this team can do it this year?
Miami,
this past probably. Week that you, really?
Yeah.
I was feeling Notre Dame. Notre Dame looked really good. Their defense was fast. Riley Leonard looked decent as well too. They're something about Notre Dame this year. I feel like they're not frauds like they usually are, and their schedule plays pretty easy as well too, if I remember correctly.
I think the main problem with them is that at the end of the year, the Texas A&M win is not going to look as good as it does right now, and they don't have a conference championship game. That's the only reason. You know, they probably won't lose too many games.
Yeah, and I think. I was talking with actually Samir about this morning. We were talking, and I think if Notre Dame, because I think they play USC their last regular season game of the season, and if they like say lose that game and then they don't get to play in the playoffs or something like that, or then you know they go into a number 10 seed instead of a number 5 seed, and they have to go into you know Clemson or Bama or whoever you know that top seeded team. It's not top four who gets the automatic bye, that's where you're gonna be like, oh shit, we should be in the Big Ten. And that's when they kind of like, okay, because they really do value that top four conference stuff now. And Notre Dame's obviously gonna be the odd team out in that every single time because they have no other way to be the one in except for you know doing the inevitable and joining the conference.
If they joined the ACC full time 3 years ago, like we thought they might have, they definitely have a couple more playoff appearances.
Yeah, I agree. Moving on, though, to our layup school predictions. Last week was a rough week, but it was close in some of our picks. For my layup, I had in North Dakota State versus Colorado over 60.5. That game was looking to be that way, just didn't end up in the second half, a bit more low scoring. Ended up being 31-26, I want to say. So just under, but red, of course, doesn't matter. Skyler had Notre Dame plus 3 versus TAMU. Or is that TAMU?
Yeah.
I would say it wrong. But Texas A&M, cool environment in Texas A&M. I saw a whole bunch of videos of
the house you know, Johnny built.
Power again or something like that with 105,000 people or something like that. It seemed to be really cool. Didn't matter for Notre Dame. They played really well. Got the win there. And then this week I have the Miami Dolphins. Finally doing some NFL bets. -3.5 versus Jacksonville. I don't think there's going to be like a 20-point blowout, but it could be a 7-point win. It's just cool to see the NFL's back. I love college football, but there's too many blowouts in college football. Back to close games with the NFL.
Yeah. Because of that reason, I will be sticking with a college pick for my layup. I'm going to take that game of the week I was talking about, number 3 Texas, to cover 7.5 at number 10 Michigan. It's an amazing defense at Michigan, but they looked really shitty against Fresno State, and Texas didn't. They beat the crap out of a team, Colorado State, who's supposed to be one of the better group of five up there with Boise, and they didn't even make it a game at all. I got Texas covering easily.
Well, prediction last week, I went crazy. I had Old Dominion plus 900. And for so long, it looked so good versus South Carolina. Unfortunately, it's a one-possession loss. But for a plus 900 bet, I'm okay with that. I think it's a decentable read there. Scott had Florida over number 19 Miami plus 120. That did not go the way he expected. Did not go the way a lot of people expected with just how bad Florida looked.
Well, freaky Friday.
And how good Miami looked. Yeah. So unfortunately, double reds there. This week, hopefully, we get it right for multiple reasons because I chose my own team as the bold prediction. I have the Raiders plus 140 versus the Chargers. This Chargers team sucks. If we lose this game, I'm actually going to be mad because we're going to lose week 2 in Baltimore. Go get this win this week. We're playing in LA. Doesn't matter. It's a home game for the Raiders. Let's get the job done, please. And start off the season 1-0 so I can be happy for 6 days before we get killed by the Ravens.
Yeah, a similar strategy with me here with my bold prediction. I ended up going with 2 games and none of the primetime games because there's just a thing about the non-primetime week 1. Certain teams have to win or they will be on the hot seat immediately. That is Dallas plus 120 at Cleveland. They need to win or, everyone's going to make fun of them. And very similar with the Giants plus 105 against Minnesota. I don't have the Giants as a very good team, but Daniel Jones has been there for a long time. Dable, they made it to the playoffs one time. They can muster up 24 points and beat freaking Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I was thinking about taking the over in that game, too, is one of my picks. I think both defenses are going to be pretty bad, and both offenses have some decent players, which could make it interesting, but obviously didn't go that direction. Regardless, that's going to do it for episode 208. Fun one, of course. We got to do the entire NFL season. Next week, episode 209, shout out Stockton, shout out Dallas Braden, the 209 mayor. We got week 1, recap. The fun stuff is back. Power rankings, maybe. Who knows? We still got to check in on the MLB and some of the stuff going on over there. So it won't be all football. But we'll be back the way that we were, during the NFL season. That's always so fun to do. Going to be a fun next couple of months. We got the playoffs for the MLB. We got basketball season coming up as well, too. Any closing notes? 2K comes out at 5 a.m. tomorrow, which actually is true, which is crazy.
That's
so
weird.
If you got 2K, get up early tomorrow.
Yeah, DJ bought it. He said I could go take it, so maybe.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
Like my closing remarks today, I think we should both do it. I'm just going to knock on wood right now. Just knock on some wood now before the season starts.
I hope you can hear it. There we go.
We both are in for some very exciting years, whether it goes incredibly great or, like usual, horribly wrong and everyone laughs.
Yeah, we seem to be fans of the two teams that tend to do that quite often, where we just fuck up bad enough where it's funny to talk about. But, I've tried the optimist. I've tried the pessimist. This year, I don't fucking know. We'll just try to get it done. 10-7, missed the playoffs. Hopefully we make it though. Cause I want to see a win. I want to see a playoff win, man. I haven't seen one in my lifetime. I just want to see one. So we'll see.
Yeah. I was 8 or 9 for our last one. It's been a minute. It's been a minute for sure. Let's have a great year, man. I'm super hyped. I'm going to be there Monday night and, let you know how many Niner fans were crying after the game.
Okay. I'm with that.
All right. We'll be back next week. Let's have a great season.
Let's go.
Great season.
We're back.